Blog Talk Radio.
Oye, oye. Ay.
¿Qué pasa, bebé?
Qué rico. Hey. Ay, sí. Más tarde. Ahora usted.
Sí, sí.
Wow. ¿Cómo about to start?
Hey, what happened?
Hey. ¿Qué hora es?
Wow. Ay. You don't know what time it is. It's time to start the show. On Black Hole Radio, baby, Havana, Harlem, with your host, Ornel Mulet. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. And here's Ornel.
Good evening and welcome to Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio. My name is Onen Mulet and I'll be your host with this very special program. Today my guests are Dr. Ivor Miller from the University of Calabar and Mr. Asuquo Upong, who is a Pan-Africanist. He is a musician, a poet, an architect, living here in Brooklyn, New York, and trying to do the best for his people every day. We're going to let Dr. Ivor Miller introduce the program and tell us a little bit about what we're gonna listen to and what we're gonna talk about here today. Dr. Ivor Miller, welcome to Havana Harlem Live.
Messieriu, good morning. That's in the ethnic language of Calabar. Great to be here. I've just come back from Calabar, where over the past many years I've been teaching in the history department at the University of Calabar, and trying to understand the historic links between the people of Calabar and its hinterlands and the people of the Americas, the legacy of Calabar people in the Americas. And part of this quest has been understanding the music, because we all know how important Cuban, Brazilian, Haitian, Trinidadian music is for people around the world, the calypso, samba, son.
Samba.
And a lot of this is evidently coming from Calabar and certainly Congo and other regions. We spent a few years going around with a very knowledgeable high life musician called Darlington Duke, who has a radio show at CRBC, Cross River Broadcasting Corporation. He took me to a lot of archives because he knew old musicians who had passed along, left their record collections with the families. And we went there and selected some of the old recordings of Calabar music. And not only Calabar, but southeastern Nigeria generally.
The old Calabar region.
Old Calabar region, that's right. Because many of these recordings were not really internationally famous, because they're in the Ibibio and Efik languages. So we want to present today some of the best of those recordings so that people can understand the links between old Calabar region, which was a huge region that went into Cameroon, and into the Niger Delta.
Into Arachuku.
Yes, Arachuku, and into the hinterlands up in Ogoja to understand these links. So thank you very much for having us.
Well, thank you both for being here. For those of you who are not that familiar with Nigeria's geography, Calabar is in the southeast region of Nigeria in Cross River State, and it borders southwest Cameroon. These are traditional Ekpe lands, and a lot of the music that you're going to hear is traditional, is pop music influenced by the Ekpe traditions in this region. If you're just tuning in now, this is Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio.
Thank you.
Nigerian High Life. If you're just tuning in, this is Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio, and today my guests are Asupo Upong and Dr. Ivor Miller. They're going to break it down for us and talk about the influence, the African influence of the music of the Caribbean. Asupo, can you tell me a little bit about this track and the context of the music, and talk to me about High Life and how it's represented throughout your region of Nigeria.
Thank you very much, O'Neill, for bringing me to this program.
It's our pleasure to have you here with us.
Okay. We just listened to Rex Williams. He was the product of the High Life Music, which is a township type of music similar to what you see the township, you know, music in Soweto, South Africa. High Life developed across West Africa, all the way from Ghana, maybe as far as Sierra Leone, coming all the way to Nigeria and Cameroon. And every music is, you know, a matter of context and time. And High Life happened to have been a product of the time, you know, when Western culture was, you know, I mean, having contact with African folklore and African music. And High Life benefited from the introduction of Western instruments, like, you know, guitar, that came to meet, you know, African drums and the conga, you know, gongs and percussions, which is very heavy in African music. Etuo Rex Williams was one out of many High Life musicians that, you know, expressed themselves in that era, 60s and 70s. And if I'm not mistaken, he was actually originally from the Atomic Ace of Aba, another group that was in a town called Aba, about 24 miles from Ikolegbene, which is another town, you know, not far from where Etubo, you know, hails from. I believe that in that era, we had the momentum of the music, you know, following the emancipation and evolution of Nigerian society in the southeast of Nigeria at the time. You know, if you listen carefully to Itoum Rex Williams' music, you would hear influences of Afrobeat, you know, which
definitely
was basically originating from Fela Ransom Kuti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that time, Fela had started touring around Nigeria and showing and, you know, playing and sharing his type of music or his type of vision or transition. So Itoum Rex Williams was actually, you know, looking and searching for ways forward, you know, and combining, you know, Afrobeat and high life and certain elements of the regional music, Ibibio and Efik, you know, music. He, in that piece, I believe, was a transitional piece in which he was searching for a new identity or something to discover, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. And Western context, the language is lost, so they tend to focus more on the beat and and the rhythm.
Yes.
But high life music is definitely revolutionary music. It's music with a very strong message.
Yes, high life was all over West Africa, like I said, you know. Mm-hmm. The Ghanaians played it a lot. They played it in Yoruba land. When you hear music from somebody like Victor Olaya,
right,
you know, they played it in the Midwest of Nigeria, you know, the Benin area, where you had people, personalities like Victor Wifo, an innovative, you know, hybrid of high life that Victor played, you know, into the riverine areas or the what they call the Niger Delta today,
mm-hmm.
where you had somebody like Rex Lawson, who was a major high life innovator. And then you come into Calabar, you had the king of all high life across West Africa, you know, Mr. Nyang Henshaw, who was a golden voice and a very poetic and charismatic, you know, I mean, singer.
Well, you mentioned Henshaw and Calabar, and that's one of the things that I'd like to, that I want to cover, especially, you know, since it's not every day that we get you and Dr. Miller in the same room. Aside from this music resonating with young people all over Africa, what about getting the traditional culture out there, the message of the native culture of Calabar, for instance, with Henshaw? How did they get that out? How, describe to me the context of that particular kind, that particular brand of Henshaw, high life music.
Well, like I said, you know, high life is a matter, you know, matter of context and time. And Henshaw, particularly, was one of the most golden voices
mm-hmm.
of the era. And like all music, you know, the music records its own time and moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Henshaw was fortunate because he was a bridge to the previous generation
mm-hmm.
of poetry, I should say, and the current or his own time. So he was very, very important in inspiring other musicians because of the context of or the content of his music. It was very poetic. Most of his own lyrics, you know, were lifted from Efik poetry and, you know, origins, and that made it very powerful because the people in the region could relate to the poetic, metaphoric nature of his songs.
The symbolic language.
The symbolic languages of his poetry. Yes.
When we were off the air, we were talking a little bit about the traditional culture and how a certain, you just mentioned the importance of preserving an era through the music.
Yes.
And how Cuban Ekpe culture was very important in preserving that particular era.
Yes.
Dr. Miller, can you elaborate a little bit on the role of traditional Ekpe culture in high life music and the different artists that that express this native culture through the music?
Okay, thank you. Well, as we were saying, there's two types of music we're generally hearing in this program. There's the high life music of the urban spaces, And then there's the, what they call the cultural music, which are the musics, the traditional village music of the initiation societies and the age grades, including Ekpe, Leopard Society, Ukwa, War Dance, Ekombi, Dance for the Maidens. So the Calabar highlight musicians, as Asuku was saying, Chief Inyang Henshaw was really the king, quote-unquote, of high life. He lived actually in Lagos. There's a huge Calabar community in Lagos, mm-hmm. which started around the 1920s because there was some kind of witch hunting mm-hmm. in chasing out traditional people, actually, in Calabar. So a huge community formed in Lagos. Chief Inyang Henshaw was working for Decca Record Company in Lagos. He recorded 10 albums. And he was an Ekpe person. He was an initiate. So, therefore, he's bringing some of that to his high life. But it's really high life. It's not cultural music.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the great Ekpe Ita, who was an Ekpe member. And he played the traditional cultural music. He did many albums of all the traditional rhythms. Incredibly important musician. And that's where you're hearing all the straight up Ekombi, Itembi,
Konkoma,
mm-hmm. Ukwa, so many important rhythms. And then there was Peter Effiom, who was a high life musician who came out of the Ekwaro brothers, another group we're going to hear. So those are the three big names in Calabar, as far as I know.
No, you have Kingsley Bostick Bassey,
okay.
who was a prominent high life musician.
He was from where?
He was from Calabar, but he may have played with Rex Lawson, I'm not quite sure, but I think that is accurate.
Mm.
He was also very, very influential. He was called Bostick. And in Calabar in those days, they used to have, you know, one of the earliest nightclub
Luna.
In Calabar. No, before Luna was a place called Olympic, which was on Bedwell. And that's where most, in fact, is the most iconic, you know, live spot in Calabar before Olympic nightclub, before the coming of Luna. Luna was more a more recent, you know, club that happened on Fosbury. You know, that's where most of the groups in Eastern region or around the country that came to play in Calabar would go to Luna nightclub, where Fela plays there, Bostick plays there, Inyang Henshaw, you know, and all the other, you know, celebrities of the music universe.
Dr. Miller, can you set up the next track for us?
Okay. The next track, this is recorded by a group known as Ethic Cultural Research Party. I love that name. Ethic Cultural Research Party. And these are from 78. So we pulled out of basements in Calabar. This is probably recorded in the 1970s. It's in the Ethic language, and it's a Ukwa rhythm of the Ukwa Warriors Society. And these are warrior groups of young men who would go and defend the village in times of, you know, conflict.
Great. And after this track, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the Efiks, the Bibios, the Efut, and their relationship to this music and the music of Cuba? So you're listening to Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio. If you're just tuning in, we have Asukwo Ukpong and Dr. Ivor Miller, and we're listening to high life music, and both popular and influenced by the traditional cultures here on Havana Harlem Live.
Oh,
Distinguished guests, Mr. Asukwo Ukpong of Calabar, the distinguished musician, poet, and scholar, Pan-Africanist, and Dr. Ivor Miller, the University of Calabar history professor, and also the author of a very important book. If you love music, you must pick up this book. It's entitled Voice of the Leopard, African Secret Societies in Cuba. Before we go any further, I want to talk about the language, about the lyrics and these songs. Asukwo, can you tell me a little bit about the first song and what is it that they're saying? What's the title of the song and what are they saying?
The title of the song is Satan Kembirowo Edio, which means Satan in the likeness of man. It's just an expression of the fact that man is made in the image of evil. No matter what you try to be, that you will never be like God, you know. Essentially, that's the meaning of this particular track that you played, you know.
And does that come from traditional folklore, or is this influenced by Christianity?
Well, like I said, every music is a documentation of a contextual time.
Right.
And at this time, there has been contact with Europeans and others from the Caribbean. And at that time, Christianity also was gradually being established in that region through Calabar, which was, like we said earlier, was a major port. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Calabar was the first capital of Nigeria. You know, so that became a conduit, you know, for emancipation, evolution, or you could say, or transformation of the culture through mutations, mm-hmm. and so on. So at this time, Christian influences, you know, and philosophies and so on had penetrated. So like the word Satan was never an African,
right,
you
right.
know, lexicon, you know. It was a Christian, you know, I mean, element that came into being. And at that point, people had started expressing themselves also in songs, mm-hmm. you know, with the influences of Christian, you know, I mean, philosophies and content.
And that last song that we just heard, if you're familiar with Abakwa music from Cuba, you can definitely distinguish the Cuban style of playing the Abakwa march. Dr. Miller can give us a little bit more detail about this rhythm and how it made its way to the Caribbean islands.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that is a wonderful track. This song from the Ukwa Society is speaking about philosophical ideas of the indigenous people of the region, and it's the text is referring to a pumpkin. It's a big green pumpkin that grows on vines, and it's naturally covered with some kind of white chalk. Mm-hmm. So if you touch the pumpkin when it's big, white chalk will come off on your hands. And the song is saying, the pumpkin is covered with white chalk, not with charcoal. And by saying this, they're implying that one's actions in life should be transparent like the white chalk, not obscure like the charcoal. And this is a reference to the judicial societies of which Ukwa is a part If someone commits a crime in the community, the elders will meet and decide what to do with that person. If the person is not guilty, they will put white chalk on the person. If they're guilty, they will put charcoal to shame that person, to show their actions have been not correct. So one should always do a good thing so that no shame will come to you, is the message of the song. And Asukwa can talk more about this, but Ukwa became a part of the Abakwa society in Cuba, and we know that because there's a grade in Abakwa called Nkoboro. Nkoboro is known as the guardian of Ekpe. It's like the military force. And in the Ukwa society, there's a mask called Nkoporo, which is the mask wears a human skull, and it carries a machete, and it's the guardian. It's of the warriors of the village. So in these ways, we can see the pathways of cultural transmission were many into the Caribbean. And this is just one example of that.
And for our listeners who are not familiar with Ekpe culture and with Cuban Abakwa, Ekpe, the only place that Ekpe exists outside of the traditional Ekpe lands in southeastern Nigeria and Cameroon is in Cuba. It was established in Cuba around 1836. Dr. Ivor Miller, tell our listeners a little bit more about the different the different cultures that are endemic to Ekpe that exist in Cuba and make up Cuban Abakwa.
Okay, well, this is what we're trying to discover. What are the links? And from the little I've been able to learn over many years is the Abakwa in Cuba is a product of what was known as Carabalí culture generally, and that included there's Carabalí Isuama in Santiago. It's a comparsa,
mm-hmm.
And so Isuama is referenced to Igbo speakers,
mm-hmm.
And so you've got Igbo influence in Carabalí in Cuba and all over the Caribbean. There's Efik, which is known as Efi. Efut, which is known as Efo, Uruan, which is known as Oru, and the Ibibios are part of that too. There's a Jagam influence, there's all kinds of influences, and each group has their own music, their own dances, and like the formation of Lukumi from Yoruba, from many different areas of Yoruba land, Carabalí / Abakwa is a fusion of many different cultures from the old Calabar region. Hope I answer your question.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. If you're just tuning in now, this is Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio.
Oh,
Back. You're tuning in to Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio. Now, to me, that sounds like some straight-up Abaqua rhythms right there, mostly associated with Cuban song. And, man, it swings like crazy. Azuko, what were we listening to right there? Can you talk to me a little bit about the rhythm and about the music?
Thank you very much. This is a song by Chief Sylvester Cone, and like we said, Christianity had penetrated by this time, so you have names like Sylvester.
Yeah.
This is actually pure high life music, rendered in the Efik, language, and he's singing about Inwenbu Breyo. The person who lives upstairs should come down, so that he can receive the gift of the downstairs. Like I said, most symbolic, poetic, epic traditions were now, transferred or imparted into the music. In most cases, there were, oral traditions that were supposed to indoctrinate or remind the newer generation of times past and imbue in them, the philosophy of their parents, So in this case, he was reminding those who live high up there, who might be above all adversities, to remember that the real peace and the real gift is on ground.
Remember where you came from.
That's right. Remember where you came from. And know that wherever you go, you're representing those who raised you.
Don't forget
your past, where you come from. And another thing about the land is so important in Calabar, because the traditional people still live on the land and own the land, and that's why Calabar is a very important cultural place, because the Ekpe lodges have been there for hundreds of years.
And Yenisong.
Yes, and so that relationship with the land is very deep.
Yes.
Whenever traditionalists eat food in Calabar, they always take the first bit and throw it on the ground.
And they pour libation, back to the earth.
That's right. We do that in Cuba, too. Anytime we crack open a bottle of rum, first we pour libations for the ancestors.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, but this is, I believe there was a combi rhythm to that track.
Yes, that was a combi, traditional slowed down rhythm.
So yes, it's high life, but there's a combi rhythm
combi
in there, which is also part of the Cuban Abaqua sound.
Yes.
That's right. And you, Azuko, you mentioned about that slowed down rhythm that it was.
Yeah.
Did you say it was played for it was the dance of the maidens?
Yes. Basically, kombi is danced by both male and female, but more so because the maidens had the more flexible, anatomy to express the slower rhythm. Not that some men did not do it as well, but it was actually made into the alley of women, because they could really, show their, dexterity and ability to move and dance in very poetic, jazzy rhythms.
Very graceful. And
yes.
And now does this harken back to the beginnings of Ekpe?
Yes, it does, because Ekpe actually was originated by women. And it was, like all things, hijacked from the women by men. Who began to see the value of Ekpe as an instrument of authority.
That's right. For those of you who are not familiar with Ekpe or the traditional culture of southeastern Nigeria and southwest Cameroon, Ekpe was the traditional authority, the native government of these lands. And Dr. Miller can attest to many places in the bush that he's been to where Ekpe is still the local form of government.
Yes, exactly. I want to also point out that the dance of Calabar people are riverine people, especially mm-hmm. the Efiks and the Ifoots. So their dance is like the water spirits.
Flows like the river.
The arms are moving like waves. Uh-huh. Whereas the hunter people, the Ajagams in the hinterland, dance more like
macho.
Agriculturalists. Yes. They're mm-hmm. land people.
More grounded.
They're hunters.
No. Yeah.
Acrobatic, you know,
yes.
in nature.
Yeah. So the Sikombi style is very poetic in terms of the watery
feel. Almost like a ballet of,
yeah.
you know, imagery of water.
You yeah. can hear the yes. flow in
yes.
the
which
music,
is a reference
yeah.
to Ndem,
yes.
the spirits of the water,
that's
which
correct.
Is the basis of the Ekpe society and Calabar culture.
Yeah, that's correct.
They even say Ndem Efi, Ndem Efo.
Ndem, Ndem Efi, Ndem Efo.
To refer to the spirituality of their Abakwa society, which is a reference to the water spirits.
Yes, the origin of
life.
The Abakwa.
Yes, and life itself.
Yeah, life itself. The water is the realm of the ancestors. And the symbol of the unconscious in the West. All right, we're going to talk a little bit less now and listen to a little bit more music. Dr. Ivor Miller is going to tell you about the next track that we're going to hear.
Yeah, this is the next track is Chief Inyang Henshaw, the great immortal, singing in the Efik language. It's a high life track.
Mm-hmm.
The golden voice of Chief Inyang Henshaw. High Life Music from Calabar with Asupo Ukwong and Dr. Ivor Miller. That music right there, it's very reminiscent of Haitian compa music. And you listen to the structure of the song and the way that the vocals are stuttered and happen throughout the song. And it reminds me, of course, of traditional Ekwe music. But also that rhythm, I can't help thinking about Haitian compa music. It's very funky, very groovy, and we have another example of the spoils of war. After World War II, we start hearing a lot of these horn bands and a lot of bands with the rhythm sections of modern Western pop music. Fortunately, we have Mr. Supuo Pong here to break it down for us, and Dr. Ivor Miller here as well, to break down the meaning of this music and how it functions within its context.
This is a classic era of high life, and Chief Yang Hensho, everybody's known, or is known by everyone, as the golden voice and the classic, the representation of this style of music. He was an incredible and gifted, musician. Like Ivor said, he, was initially in Lagos working, before he embraced his music, And in those days, music was basically something that you do after you have earned your living.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to have created the body of work that he did was a blessing, in the sense that he captured that era of poetry and the bridge to the previous era.
Oh, and a blessing for music from Calabar as well, right?
Yes.
Because he represented Decca Records in Lagos.
Yes, I think he mostly recorded for Decca. Most of his songs were actually...
Decca and Phillips.
Phillips, perhaps, And he was the best thing that ever happened to High Life. There were other greats of High Life.
Uh-huh.
But Yang Hensho brought the grace that epitomizes the music, from his epic heritage. And you can hear the ekombi and all the other elements of epic, music. I mean, he was an epic man, so we expected nothing more than that from him. You know, this was, one of those, lyrics that referred, to a lover that has put a bad name out there for him,
mm-hmm.
Reminding that lover that, hey, you have already called me a bad, name, or given me a bad name. So, he's wondering who is next that is being put out there.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So he's reprimanding a former lover for her behavior.
That's correct.
A song of social criticism.
Right. Mm-hmm. And who else will be slandered now?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, let's move along to the next track, because I know y'all want to hear some music. And let's talk. Even though it's very, very interesting and it's very educational, we're very blessed to have both of you here on the program. Very happy to have you guys here.
This next track is by the Ekwaro Brothers. As I understand it, the Ekwaro Brothers were the first group from Calabar to record music, probably beginning in the 1940s. This song has Peter Effiom on the lead voice. Peter Effiom later emerged as a solo artist. This is a combi rhythm in the Efik language, and the song is in translation is saying, "The hope in one's mind looks like the rays of the morning sun that drives darkness from the eyes. Any problem that one has, even if it is wide as the sea, the hope of tomorrow is greater."
Wow, that's beautiful. If you're just tuning in, this is Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio, and today we're speaking with Asukwo Upong and Dr. Ivor Miller, listening to High Life music from Calabar.
Yeah.
Tuned into Havana Harlem Live on Black Hole Radio. My name is Onem Mulet, and today my guests are Asukwo Akpong and Dr. Ivor Miller. You just heard some music from the very beginnings of High Life, and Asukwo is going to tell you a little bit about the context of the music and the music's origins and what it's all about.
Thank you very much, O'Neill. This was the Aquaro Brothers, where the foundations of initial, High Life in Efik language. You know, they also have, very deep connections to Efik folklore and poetry. You know, this particular, track you played was a hybrid of High Life and choral, singing music. And it had, a High Life tempo, kind of. But these were the ones that inspired the next generation of High Life in Efik language, because of their connection, like I said, to the past or the immediate generation.
And so this music, that is, it reflects the epic stories of the foundation of a lot of these cultures. In this case, Efik.
Yeah. In this case, it was just an analogy, putting your trust in humans was the theme of the song. And it went on to express, how unreliable that is and so on. So it's always something to learn from this song, either borrowed from folklore or borrowed from invented lyrics or poetry. Efik music had, one aspect that is very, very strategic. That is the spontaneity of an invention, that is creating the music on the spot without pre-written, pre-arranged, and pre-calculation. That aspect is endemic in the music, in which the lead singer can introduce a concept or a song or a theme, and the rest that have never even heard, based on the content and the meaning expressed by that introduction, we're able to join in as the chorus, and the call and response, structure then develops from you bouncing off the, direction of the lead singer.
And that innovation in music, that spontaneity, is what gave rise to the Cuban descargas. It gave rise to rumba and to jazz and rhythm and blues, in this country. So not only do we inherit the instruments and the song structures, but also the entire mechanism for the creation of Western music.
That's called
right there in Africa.
That's called improvisation now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a way of letting music invent itself.
Yes, letting it flow.
Yes.
Great. The next track we're going to hear is a straight-up Ekombi track. Mm-hmm. It was recorded by the Calabar Choral Party in the 1970s. The Calabar Choral Party was a group that emerged in Lagos among the Efik and Kwa Calabar people of Lagos, and the group eventually migrated back to Calabar. This entire record are songs that are sung during the coronation of the Obong of Calabar, so it's celebratory and they're speaking about many aspects of the Efik kingdom and communities. This is in the Efik language, it's a Ekombi rhythm, and the lyrics are saying, let me go and fetch water for my mother because she's a sick woman, has no one to assist her. And that's, the song is celebrating elders about the relationship, the respect for elders and the ties in the community to help each other to touch the lives of the less privileged.
And for our listeners out there, the Obong is the paramount ruler. And if you're interested in the culture of Southeast Nigeria and Southwest Cameroon, please go out to Amazon.com, pick up Dr. Ivor Miller's book, The Voice of the Leopard, African Secret Societies in Cuba. And make sure you tune into this show, bookmark it, archive it, and look for Asukwo and look for Dr. Ivor Miller. I'd just like to say thank you to everybody at Black Hole Radio. Thank you to Brother Forrest, Brother Jason, and Sisters Yvette and Azira for having my back. And I encourage all of you to tune in to Black Hole Radio. There is programming for health and alternative lifestyle, for women and men's issues. We have gospel music, Latin music, hip-hop. And Asukwo is going to play us out with a little bit of music, and then we're going to hear the last track.
Yeah, dude. Come on, 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 come on